You know, if you're not experiencing freedom and peace and a sense of purpose and direction in your marriage, then the fact is you're not experiencing God's best or, frankly, God's intention for marriage. I'll tell you what we want to do today here at the Intentional Living Center. We want to give you some freedom to think about and some paths that will help you move toward an intentional marriage that I think you'll find very helpful. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and you know what we've done today? We've reached into our archives and pulled up one of our best of calls, because I think throughout the program today, you're going to hear some of these calls that really are going to impact your life, are going to encourage you and help you with your marriage as we get a chance to talk about living an intentional marriage. If you want to join in with a comment, if you want to share how God has moved in your marriage intentionally, please give us a call on our storyline at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. You know, if you're new to intentional living, here's what we believe. When we live intentionally for God, understanding His intention for our life, or in this case, for our marriage, and we do that in the moments of our life, we're going to have more peace, we're going to have more purpose and more direction, and we're here to help motivate and encourage you on that journey for success in your life. So share your story in our comment line, 888-888-1717. Christina is on the line to get us started with a question today. So Christina, how can I help you?
My husband and I have been married for 15 years. And when we were first married, he was in debt and I was not. And so he gave me the responsibility of handling our finances. And so I, over 15 years, did pretty good, but I've gotten us into about $8,000 of debt. And we did Dave Ramsey, and it just frustrated my husband because he didn't feel like we could ever get this, you know, the emergency fund in order to start paying off our debt. And he feels like I'm always telling him no. And so my question is, how can I, in a respectful way, get him on board with making the changes that we need to do in order to get out of debt? I know that there's stuff we have to do, and he's frustrated that I'm telling him no all the time.
Yeah, well, Christian, I probably would be too. He doesn't see the picture. You're not on the same page. Doesn't sound like you have an agreed upon debt. And you even said it, Christina, that you've done all the finances. You've tried to do this as a one woman show, and that's not God's intention. Here's what I would do, Christina. I would sit down because a program like Dave Ramsey's is a good one. There's others, but that's a good one. Frankly, the program isn't as important as the intentionality, because a program will get you there if it's a good program. But good programs without an intentional life is simply a good idea. And many of us live in the la-la land of good ideas. And so I would lay out all the finances. I would say, honey, we got to do this together. I would show him the picture. I'd put it onto a spreadsheet. And then I would talk with him and then come to an agreement. Because what I hear you saying is you're going to do this on your own. It's kind of like, how do I get him on board? You know, what do I do to get him to agree with what I'm doing? And that's one of the biggest obstacles in marriage, is not being on the same page. Here, we're stronger together than apart. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4, it is better two than one, right? And pity the man who falls down, has no one to help him up. And you've fallen down, and pity you because you don't have someone to help get you up. And so the bottom line is, this is not a program problem. This is not an $8,000 in debt program. You can take care of that. You can knock that off. The problem you have is a marriage problem, and the problem is you're not on the same page. What do you all think? Do you agree with that? I mean, maybe some of you can relate to what Christina's facing. It's one of the questions we face here. Give us a call. We're talking about marriage today, 888-888-1717. Carol is in online from Arizona with a question for me today as well. Go right ahead.
I love my husband more now than the day I married him. And just over the years, I've become bitter. And I try to not snap and say negative things, but I'm finding it very difficult. When he'll make a comment, I will come back with a negative comment, and I don't want to do that. And I'm having trouble stopping the negative that I have gotten myself, or let myself get into. And wanted to know, how do you get out of that mindset? But I don't know how I even got there. just wanted to know if there was an answer as to how to go about getting back to where I should be.
Well, that's a good question, Carol. I mean, if we're being real honest, everybody listening is thinking the same thing. You just don't respect your husband. I don't know why. I mean, something happened or you've changed or something, but you've lost respect. And we know love and respect are the two kind of core foundational ingredients to making a marriage work. And it's something you got to wrestle with, because I hear part of your heart saying, as a Christian, as a wife, I want to respect him. I want to listen to him. I don't want to be bitter toward him. But here it is. It's there. You can't deny it. You can't just stuff it. And that's, you know, the Bible says, don't let a root of bitterness begin. You know, we get weeds in our yard. My wife and I walk every day. And so we always walk by our yard coming home. And there's new weeds from the day before. And my wife has this habit. Every day when we come home, before she walks back into the house, she picks three or four weeds that she sees. And that's why our yard looks better than some of the neighbors. Because every day, Donna's picking two or three or four weeds. You know, two or three or four weeds a day over an extended period of time is a whole lot of weeds. And I think what happens in marriage is we get these weeds and we don't pull them. We don't deal with them when they're little. And when you don't deal with a weed when it's little, it becomes a real problem. And then it becomes a bush, and then it becomes a real problem to get rid of it. And you start to tolerate it. And you see yards that are overrun with weeds, you know, it's kind of discouraging for the people. They're out there trying to pull 1,000 weeds if they'd have kept it up with a few a day. Boy, I can use this. I could drive this analogy a long way, but the bottom line is dealing with the weeds. So for you, Carol, I really encourage you to deal with this issue, whatever the respect issue that you're wrestling with, that you make it a priority in your life to deal with it. Because when you do, it'll make a difference. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. You're welcome to join me. If you have a question today on marriage, something you agree with, don't agree that I say, or you'd like to know, what is intentional living? I mean, how does it really work when this crummy situation going on in my marriage? Does it work? It does work. When you get mad enough to say, I'm sick enough about what's going on in my marriage or my family or my finances or in our relationship, when you get mad enough in a positive way, get angry and do not sin, the Bible says. You get angry enough to say, we're sick of this. And you turn on the intentional living switch, it's going to make a difference. So if you got a question, comment, give me a call, 888-888-1717. Maybe you feel like you want to have more of an impact in your family for Christ. As I mentioned, Ellie Holcomb, a Christian music artist, stopping by in a moment to tell you what they're doing that works in their family. Don't go away. When Adam and Eve fell, when Humpty fell off the wall, the biblical record shows that three things happened at that moment that vibrate throughout history and affect you and me today. Three things happened that we can see from the recorded history in Scripture. Those three things were shame and blame and pain in our life. You know, that's going to take a little explanation. You know, where do we get this idea of shame and blame and pain? It comes right from Scripture. And I teach about it this month from Genesis 1 and 2, where we see this perfect place of the Garden of Eden. Then we see the fall of man and woman in the garden. I refer to it as the Humpty Dumpty experience there. And then in chapter 3 of Genesis, God clearly unfolds for us the beginning of what you and I face today, shame, blame, and pain. And so just a note to members, we've sent to you, those of you supporting the ministry, electronically or by email, the teaching, both video and audio, for this month on this topic of who pushed Humpty, as I call it, about God's teaching to encourage us on dealing with these three things in our life. And so, members, I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you'll share it with others. That's why we send it to you as a way of saying thank you for your ongoing support. And by the way, for some reason you say, well, I'm supporting every month and I'm not receiving it, please, please let us know. Maybe it's lost in your spam folder or something. Check it out. So come and join us in monthly support. We'll add you as well. Plus, we're sending out this flip book, 52 Intentional Moments to Encourage Your Heart. Come and join us today. Go to theintentionallife.com. theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And when you click on the donate button, all the information is there for you. And boy, we could use your support as together we reach out to figure out what pleases Christ, right? And then do it every day. That is intentional living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Dr. Randy, and I thank you and your team for the blessings that you allow the Lord to give people who are willing to listen. I'm learning to raise my children the right way, and they're grown. I have grandchildren, so I feel blessed that I'm learning where my mistakes were in raising my children, where my mistakes were that cost me my marriage. And I've met you in person. I've even been to one of your marriage programs. And that was the best blessing for our marriage for a short time, that we didn't follow through and find something local. And it's a ripple effect. It didn't affect just us. It affected our children. It affected our grandchildren. And it affected our close family members, because we did survive it for 23 years. And I believe that my marriage would have survived, and we would have saved ourselves a lot of heartache and everyone around us a lot of heartache if we weren't so busy trying to fight over the stupid things like which way to flip the toilet paper on the roll. We lost any form of respect for each other, and it became a war zone for the smallest of things that didn't even mean anything, Randy. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has revealed all these things through listening to you. And he's talking through you to me so many times.
Hey, listen, I appreciate that. Shelley, and that we could be here to encourage you, but you get it. You got it. And you got to the place to say, you know, the stuff that we get so unintentional in our life. I mean, we chase after the wrong things. And I think what you said, Shelley, in that spot that was recorded and you left with us really speaks to Carol, who called a minute ago about, I'm feeling bitter toward my husband. And it's the little things that we allow to get in the way. Life is full of junk. And I'll tell you, there's many, many reasons to get bitter toward your spouse if you live with them long enough, because people are people. And I just want to say, a huge thank you to our members. You know who you are. You just very quietly, faithfully support the ministry each and every month. You send in a gift automatically through auto giving. Thank you. Or on credit card, thank you. You're making a difference. You're making stories like Shelley's and calls that we can answer, like from Christina and Carol and others standing by, possible. This ministry is here because of your support. And I hope you're enjoying the monthly teaching that comes your way on CD every month from the ministry from us to you to say thank you. If you're not a member, come and join us today. Be on this journey. Life is short. You're making a difference. You're impacting lives, and you know you're a part of something good for this community and for our nation and for the world. The message of hope in Christ. Give us a call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go online to The Intentional Life right now to become a new monthly member. If you're already a member, you can call the same number or go online to increase your monthly commitment or to share a single gift. You're helping us today. We need your help. Your support matters. It really does. Every dollar that comes in goes right back out to help people. Just go to theintentionallife.com. You know, I said earlier, if you want your family to make a bigger impact for Christ, I think many of us do. We have that good intention, but you don't know what to do or where to start. Christian music artist Ellie Holcomb is here to share something that's really working in her family.
You know, I want to be intentional about serving other people with my kids in tow. And sometimes that feels a little crazy and messy because they're 1.5 and 4. But we just went and took lunch to this class that meets at a high school down the street from us that's associated with Young Life, and they're teen moms. And so we went and took them lunch. And so I am wanting to be more intentional about serving and then bringing my kids into this idea that we get to be wrapped up in the bigger story of what God's writing, and of bringing sons and daughters to glory, and of letting them know that they're loved by God. And so I really am, you can ask Drew, my husband, I'm on kind of a mission of saying, okay, Lord, how can we serve together as a family? Because I don't just want to be about saying what I believe. I want to be living that out. And so we're just asking, being intentional about asking the Lord, how can we serve? How can we love our neighbors? How can we love each other and then the people in our community around us?
Boy, she's down to earth, so practical. Been with her in some conferences. And Ellie Holcomb, you hear her on the radio. She's a Christian music artist. And I love what she says. Ellie says, listen, I want to do this together. I want to do this intentionally. You get your family all together on the same page, doing the same thing, pulling in the same direction, and there's immediate intimacy that develops. It's when we start down our own path, rowing the boat in our own direction. You ever been on a rowboat? You ever done that? And you get one oar at a different time than the other one, and the boat's going back and forth, and you row together. These competitive rowers, they do it together, don't they? There's a sense of they're synchronized. They're going in the same direction. Beautiful picture of what intentional living is all about. All right, Patricia's on the line. Go right ahead, Patricia.
Hi. I just had a comment for the lady who was feeling bitterness toward her husband.
Yes.
And I would ask her what is she listening to, either in conversations, maybe in her workplace, or with friends or family, or in the media, movies, books she's reading, what is coming into her life, just examine it and see if that is creating some either like unmet expectations or unrest. I know for me personally, workplace conversations about husbands can be very negative. And so if you feed on that a lot, I know that can change my attitude about my husband, and so I need to keep a check on that in my life.
Yeah, that's a great, great reminder, because we become like the people, Patricia, that we hang around with, the people that we listen to, and it's, I say one of the things, we talk about decluttering our lives, that's one of the steps of intentional living. One of the areas that declutter your life are of the people and the words and the things that get into our heads and our heart that can drag us down. And the Bible says, whatever things are right and pure and admirable and praiseworthy, think on such things.
Correct.
So that's a good reminder, Patricia. I'm glad you're listening. Thank you for your call from Michigan.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you're part of the team listening to Intentional Living today, talking marriage. One of the things I want to do when I'm teaching is to take the principles of intentional living, making the right decision, doing the next right one thing, enjoying every day. Life is short. We get about 27,000 days on the planet. That's about it, give or take. But to use every one of those days to build toward the goals that we have in our life that God's given us. What do you say to encourage people today who are maybe feeling like my life isn't really going in the direction I'd like to go? What do you say to them to encourage them to get on?
Come on, turn towards the Lord. Turn away from, it all has to do with where we focus so often, We're so focused in on what is wrong, it's hard to see who is right, And when we turn towards the Lord and He meets us in that place, and you don't have to be this profound, prayer of great prayers, I'm telling you, the most significant prayers I pray, I think, are help me and thank you. and I do them in that order, you know. I just begin to thank the Lord, and I just begin to approach the Lord for His help. And man, the joy of God just came in the room with me, man. And it's because He's in my life, you know. And when I turn to Him, I can receive from the source, you know. He's the source. And so you don't have to know, be a religious person. You can just stop where you are and say, God, I need You today. Please help me. Jesus, I need You. I confess before You that I can't do this without You. I need help. And man, You'll experience His presence. I believe it.
Amen. That's Big Daddy Weave, also known as Mike Weaver. He and his wife Candace are joining my wife Don and I and our ministry president Evan and his wife Kelly Carlson on the June 12 through 19 Alaska cruise for intentional living. Boy, we're going to be breathing some fresh air and enjoying these beautiful sights and scenes. As one of our staff put it, it's like a moving picture postcard. Beautiful Alaska. I think it's the best of all cruises. And the reason we put these on is because of two really important reasons. We want you to have a vacation with a purpose. And we know for many of us, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. We'd love to have you come. You're going to be with other believers, other people who, like you, share a belief in Christ and have this desire to grow spiritually and in their family and their walk with Christ. And we're going to be spending time together in fellowship and eating and worship. Mike will be leading us in worship and praise and putting on a concert, and I'm going to get to teach, and Mike is teaching and Evan's teaching. We're going to have just a great week. Boy, do we want you to be a part of it. Now, cabins are limited. Cabin availability is limited. So can I encourage you to get yours registered today, get it reserved rather. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com to be a part of the Intentional Living Alaska Cruise. Again, the dates are June 12 through 19. And every day will be filled with just something new to experience, to learn, to grow. And I think you're going to find it as a very worthwhile week. So come on out, be a part of it as you go to theintentionallife.com. Today, you know, we're talking about intentional marriage. Appreciate your calls. I think we should get back to the calls. In fact, let me see here. Let's go to California. Elizabeth has a question for me today. Elizabeth, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thanks, Randy. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I thank you for your ministry and everybody there.
Thank you.
So I'm curious about biblical submission is always a tough subject among the church and for women. And my husband and I have been married almost 25 years, and we have three kids, two teenagers and an 11-year-old. And typically we struggle with when we have discussions or decisions to be made. My husband and I are both very oppositely personalities and upbringing. And we typically, when a decision or a struggle is happening or a decision needs to be made, a lot of times our discussions end up half about the issue and half about the struggle of communication and how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm curious about is, I believe that the biblical teaching of submission is important. And so when there's a mutuality and a respect and love combination with the marriage, that can happen easier because the wife can, when there's two heads in a kitchen, one inevitably has to be the last say. Somebody has to make that tough call when there's no agreement. So that's just very, very hard when in my marriage, typically it's that it's invited, my input is invited, and he listens, but more often than not, I'd say a very true pattern is that he's not going to change his mind. And mm-hmm. So I said last night, I said, well, I guess in this one, I just have to eat it. And he said, well, that kind of makes it sound like I always get my way. And I didn't want to say, well, yes, that's kind of how I feel. So I'm curious what your teaching would be about this recommendation of, is it actually biblically true that that's what it means? When the mutuality doesn't work, it really does end with the husband.
You know, life would be a lot easier if that wasn't in the Bible. It really would be in terms of our culture today, because this topic is huge. And I heard a message this last week on this very topic, and it's there. It's in the Scripture. God put it in the Bible. When we talk about submission, you think about it in terms of an organization. You have you have people with authority and you have responsibility, and to much given, much will be required. And I think the onus on this thing lays in the heart of a man today, in the culture in which we live today, to be the man that God intends for him to be. And the Bible, prior to that passage on submission, says we are to be mutually submissive one to another out of obedience to Christ. When we get that straight, guys, as a priority in our lives, understanding that's our ultimate call, is the decisions that need to be made, am I pleasing God? And out of that, am I also pleasing and respecting my wife? And I think when we have that opportunity to lay it all out on the table, pray about it, get on the same page, I would hope that marriages would have less and less of the, I've got to call the shots on this. And there'd be more and more of, we are in agreement on this. But there are times when a decision needs to be made, and then the responsibility, according to Scripture, it may sting and not feel right in this culture today that God has given to the husband the authority and the responsibility to make a decision, sometimes not popular decisions. But I will say to us as men, we're going to be held to a higher standard, greater accountability when those moments come. And I would hope there'd be less and less of those as we as a team in marriage, because I see marriage as an opportunity to be a team working together, becomes the way God intended for it to be as well. Two are better than one, Scripture says, because we have a better return for our work. All right, Elizabeth, I don't know if that helps, but that's my take. And I do know that this is a culturally sensitive topic today and not a popular one. And I do very strongly believe that Christian men who are wise and understand that their first responsibility is to God, and then they have a responsibility to their wife and their family to make sure that they are leading in a way that honors Christ.
Hi, Randy. This is Irma. I live an intentional life by respecting my husband more, and that's something I really want to work on, is my marriage and with my children also, to love them more, be there for my husband more as he works in the ministry, and I want to be more loving towards him, just being grateful for who he is. Thank you. God bless, Randy. Bye.
Hey, thank you, Emma. And, you know, I hear you saying this is what I want to do. And, you know, many of us have these kind of goals, things that we know, we just know in our heart that we want to change in our life, a new habit we want to develop that's going to be better for our family, for ourselves, for our walk with Christ. You know, what happens with many of us is we fall into that little part of the world that we talk about as good intentions that are not acted on, where procrastination sets in, and then there's weariness and discouragement in life. So can I encourage you, Emma, and everyone, if you have that kind of a heart desire today to take that first baby step in the next moment, do one thing, start moving in that direction, and then do one more little thing, and one more. You know what? That is the way you begin momentum in your life. I encourage you to do that for your marriage today. Hey, I got to run. Dr. Randy here. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your support. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living, and we'll see you next time right here from our Intentional Living Center.